everybody had a really wonderful day. We're beginning the third parak of Brachos tonight, and we already began to allude to it last night when Dr. Resnick had his whole line of questioning about the status of aninos, that is to say, a person who loses one of the immediate relatives, and before the burial, his status is one of onein, and we discussed last night the dispute between Rashi and Tosos, whether one is merely exempted from performing the mitzvahs of the Torah, or one is effectively prohibited from so doing, the latter being the position of the Balei HaTosfos. And it seems to be rooted in a very powerful idea, and the idea being, of course, kavod hames, that part of honoring the deceased is that we don't simply continue in our normal routine, but we change our routine. Certainly, if you're the person, as we talked about last night, that's most responsible for the details of the burial, to make sure that everything is taken care of in a dignified way, and to focus for that very brief period of time exclusively, and I mean exclusively, on that task is really the halachic outlook. Rashi said that it was really a halachic dispensation, that presuming that a person would be able to take care of everything properly, but also to fulfill other mitzvos, they would be permitted to do so. But again, that is not the prevailing tradition. In fact, Tosos quotes from a Yerushalmi, we of course have a mitzvah of remembering Yetzias Mitzrayim every single day and every single night. The pasuk says, Leman tizkoras yom tizcha me'eretz Yisrayim, Kol Yimei Chayecha, and the Yerushalmi says, Yamim Sha'ata Osek Bahem Bachayim. Yes, Kriyat Shema is relevant. Zechiras Yetzias Mitzrayim is relevant on those days when one is focused on life. But unfortunately, those days when one has no choice but to be focused on death, that is not a time for Kriyat Shema, but that is rather a time which in its own way is consecrated to focus on the needs of the mace. The issues of Kavod HaMace we equally discussed last night. Let's say you're not the first one up in the batting order. Let's say you're not the one who's going to be responsible for the details associated with the funeral and the burial. There are theoretical grounds to make distinctions, but in practice, we do not typically draw those distinctions. So the Mishnah says the following, Mi shemeso mutalafanav. Now this is really an idiom. It doesn't mean literally that the decedent is literally in front of a person, but we're in that time period between death and burial, again, the time period that we associate with aninos. And let's remember what the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, Ein menachamin la'adam b'shash ha'meso mutal afanav. It's not appropriate to offer condolences. The person is not in avel, and it's simply inflammatory at that point to offer condolences. This is actually a very important thing because the way that our modern practice is set up, you know, people visit in that receiving room before the funeral has taken place, but you have to be careful. You're not really supposed to be offering condolences. Certainly you could give a hug, you could say we're thinking of you, etc., but to actually formally offer condolences would be a violation of that Mishnah, Ein menachamim la'adam b'sha shemesa mutalafanav. So the Mishnah says, mi shemesa mutalafanav, pater mi kriyat shema, they're exempted from kriyat shema. Now, if you take a look in the version in the Gemara, when this Mishnah is quoted, the next clause, min hatfila, is taken out, min hatfilin, and the Mishnah adds in, mikol mitzvos hamuros b'Torah. So once you say you're exempted from all the mitzvos that are stated in the Torah, why do you have to single out kriyat shema? Why do you have to single out tfilin? Well, the answer is almost axiomatic, that kriyat shema, as we've discussed at such great length, is kabbalas ol malchus shamayim, is accepting the sovereignty of heaven. And you might think, since that really is a mitzvah tmidis, that's a mitzvah that goes on all the time, remember Rav Gamliel's line from the second chapter, Eini shomea lachem, I will not listen to you, levatel mimeni kriyat shema afilu sha'achas, to cease accepting the yoke of heaven even for a moment. That's why he said it on his wedding night. You might imagine that kriyat shema was outside the rubric of this particular halacha, but we learned, going back to the first perek, b'shivtecha b'vesecha v'lechtecha v'aderech, there is a concept called tirda de mitzvah, that when a person is involved, is distracted because of a mitzvah, such as preparing for the burial, there's an exemption from Shema. Why would we single out tefillin? The Gemara in Rosh Hashanah says tefillin is not a regular mitzvah sase. Tefillin isn't just a positive commandment. It's not even just two positive commandments, tefillin shel yad and tefillin shel rosh. The Rambam points out in Hilchos Tefillin, tefillin is discussed four times in the Torah, Shema v'ayayim shemoa kadesh li v'ayaki v'yacha. It's not even just eight mitzvah sase, but the Gemara in Rosh Hashanah talks about a karkafta to the mancha b'tfilin, about a head that doesn't have tefillin on it as being a very serious issue. And tefillin is one of those defining mitzvos of the Jewish people. It shows our connection to God. V'ra'u kol amei ha'aretz ki shem Hashem nikra alecha, that everybody will see that the name of God is attached to you. So again, tefillin had to be singled out. That's why we check our tefillin. We always make sure that our tefillin are in very good condition, because tefillin, again, is a mitzvah that really can't be compared in many ways with other mitzvot asay. So just because you're exempted from general mitzvot would not necessarily give you the grounds for extrapolation to the mitzvah of tefillin in terms of generating an exemption. Now, what about people who aren't immediate relatives? Nosei hamita v'chilufeyen, chilufey chilufeyen, those who carry the body as it was carried. Now, of course, we have caskets, but used to just be carried the body. If you've been to a funeral in Israel, so you know what I'm referring to. And those that would replace them, and those that would replace the replacements. Why do we have so many replacements here? It's actually a very beautiful idea. The Rambam discusses it. Rashi points it out on the Mishnah as well. Because everybody wanted to be part of the mitzvah. Everybody wanted to be part of the mitzvah of Levayas Hameis, of Kvuras Hameis. So everybody was given a role. Everybody was given an opportunity to participate in the procession. Eshalifnei Hamita v'Eshal Achar Mita. There were those who were in front who were waiting to perform the mitzvah. There were those who perhaps had already performed the mitzvah. Esh lamita tzarech v'hen pturin, v'esh she'en lamita tzarech v'hen chayavin. So anybody that really is directly involved has this exemption from Kriyat Shema based on the concept, again, of osek v'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. But those who are simply present, but they're not going to be so directly involved, they're not granted the exemption of osek v'mitzvah, patur mina mitzvah. Now this becomes a very important halachic principle. Well, why not? Aren't they involved in a mitzvah? Isn't there a clear mitzvah here of Levayas Hameis? So this is one of the major sources that the Rishonim used to prove that the principle of osek v'mitzvah, that somebody who's involved in a mitzvah is exempt from another mitzvah, is really when it's a situation of efshar l'kayem shneim, where you can't do both. So somebody who's literally going to be carrying the body, so then they're not going to be able to recite the mitzvah of Shema properly with proper focus. They have to obviously focus on the mitzvah at hand. But somebody who's simply accompanying the mace along the way, they would be able to recite Kriyat Shema, even though certainly they are involved in a mitzvah. But osek b'mitzvah really means you're involved in such a way so as it precludes your involvement in other mitzvahs. So elu ve'elu, no matter which group you're in, you're those who are more directly involved, those who are less directly involved, peturid mina tefillah, they're exempted from the mitzvah of tefillah. Now there are three different reasons given in the Rishonim why you'd be exempted from davening. Number one is that davening, of course, requires amida. You have to stand still. How are you going to move along in a procession? So that's a very technical answer. Another answer about davening is davening may even require a higher level of kavana than kriyat shema. We say tefillah rachame ninhu, and as the Mishnah says in Pirkei Avos, osa tefilaso kevayin tefilaso tachanunim, that a person who establishes, actually the Mishnah in Brachos, person who just davens by road is not really focused on it, better that they shouldn't have davened altogether. The Rambam takes that concept very seriously. And then a third possibility is that tefillah is a mitzvah derabanan, right? According to the Rambam did believe that tefillah at least once a day was a mitzvah deraisa, but certainly the number of times one has to daven, that's purely rabbinic. And according to most Rishonim, the entire institution of davening is really rabbinic. So even if you're only tangentially involved, you're osek b'mitzvah, but you're not one of the people most directly involved, you are going to be exempted from tefillah. So we'll have Kriyat Shema, which is a din daraisa, according to almost all views. There is a view on the Gemara and Daf Chaf Aleph and Brachos of Shmuel that even Kriyat Shema is a derabanan. Basically, everybody else agrees that Kriyat Shema is a din daraisa. So be that as it may, we're going to treat tefillah a little differently. So how does the Rambam come down? And with this, we'll conclude on the Rashi Tosos issue about aninos. Is it a question of an exemption? Is it a patur? Or, like the Balei Tosos learned, is it formally basically an isser that a person is not going to be allowed to perform mitzvos? So let's take a careful look at the language of the Rambam. Misha meislo meishu chayav li'sabe olav, a person who lost an immediate relative, pater mikriyat shema ad sheikberenu, is exempted. So you might think the Rambam is saying, like Rashi said, it's an exemption. A person, quote, wants to be machmer in themselves, recite kriyat shema, they can, but you got to finish to the end of the line in the Rambam, which is always the case. Mipnei she'en da'ato pnuya likros. The Rambam doesn't say if. The Rambam says, as a matter of fact, objectively, Ein da'ato penuya likros, a person's mind is not freed to focus on Kriyat Shema, one's mind is elsewhere. And on that basis, the Rambam seems to be much more aligned with the view of Tosfos here than Rashi, that in a situation of aninos, it's not just that one is exempted, but one really should not recite the Kriyat Shema. Rabbi Hanani ben Akasha, Retz Kadosh.